This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
All right, so on Thursdays we do our draft, right?
It's a snake draft.
Today's topic, Emily, how did we land on this?
Celtics tonight.
Oh, the Celtics.
No, you're not allowed to root for the Celtics.
No, that's not what it was.
Yeah.
It was that the Celtics are at least attempting to become the first team ever to come back 3-0. But teams that we love to root against.
Yeah.
Like your favorite teams to root against turned into your favorite players.
Right now or historically?
Historically. The ones
anytime,
that,
yeah.
That this is the one that no matter, I just can't get with
because
that.
Right now it's the Astros.
Okay.
I see them on TV. They could be playing the Russians, and I would root for the Russians.
And is it Bregman specific or anybody? Does it have to be a 2017 member?
That helps.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
If it's Bregman or Correa, well, Correa's gone, so
Correa was still getting booed at Dodger Stadium as if it happened yesterday.
Yeah, well, if you guys ever meet Dusty Baker, he's just a great guy. He's impossible not to like. Everybody so I wish they wouldn't have hired Dusty because I have trouble rooting against him. But the Astros in general, screw you.
Okay, so here are the three lists. Al has Dean Spanos.
Number one.
Well, for you, that
so
would be.
So it's team or people?
Team or individual.
Okay, Dean Spanos.
Paul Pierce was his second selection.
It's a perfect fit. You know, Paul
it's
Pierce
a cross-section
with the Celtics.
Inglewood native Paul Pierce?
He's got
weird.
That.
I think a lot of Laker fans don't like Paul Pierce.
Number 12 is the Dodgers for Al as a San Diegan and as a
okay.
Padre fan.
Pure jealousy. Yeah. I just want to I want to point that out. Okay. There's a lot of jealousy.
Emily has Aaron Rodgers, who she loathes.
She just can't
hates him.
Stand it.
She just can't do
By
it.
By the way, I do think ESPN's way over the top on the amount of coverage Aaron Rodgers is getting right now.
That
it's like,
true.
I don't care that much. I mean, he's going to be the quarterback with the Jets, and they'll probably have a good year. I don't care what he's doing right now.
Her second pick is, keep in mind, she's a UVA alum.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Grayson Allen, who she can't stand.
Well, sure. A lot of people can't stand him.
And then lastly, Tom Brady, because she's a Steelers fan.
Okay.
All right. Taylor's is the Yankees, Draymond Green, and Derek Fisher.
Derek Fisher.
Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, over here. Doesn't like D-Fish. And then mine is Larry Bird, Russell Wilson, and the San Francisco Giants. That Larry Bird, because as Magic Johnson is my favorite player going up against Bird was... He was the opposite of Magic in every possible way other than being a great player. I couldn't stand him, and he was really good, so you had to root against him. Russell Wilson is the least authentic human being I've ever laid eyes on.
If you think she hates Aaron Rodgers, you should just listen to him with Russell Wilson.
And the Giants, all I have to do is think of Joe Morgan going around the bases with his hand in the air, and it drives me crazy.
Right.
Which one's the best?
I don't know if I would have picked – I think – the only one I would have picked that any of you guys picked is your Giants because I don't like the Giants. So I guess I would go with you.
Who would be on
nobody
list?
Picked just the Celtics in general.
I took Bird.
I thought Pierce was a good enough
Pierce,
mix.
You got Bird.
Yeah.
No, I see. For me, 49ers are very close to the
really?
Top. I hate the 49ers.
Okay, so Niners would be on your list.
Yep.
Do you have two more that
Astros would be on my list.
Okay, there's two. Those are two. Two
Astros
good
are good.
Ones.
Astros and Niners.
A player? Mm. Player you just despised?
Barry Bonds.
Okay, there's your three.
Really despise Barry Bonds.
Ireland?
The Astros would be number one. Cedric Maxwell would be number two. He's the Celtics radio analyst, and he's just a pain in the ass. He's a great guy, but he's a pain in the ass. And it's so fun to watch him
he
lose.
He and Michael, right?
Oh, yeah, Michael. Oh,
they what Slee's doing the pregame show, if those two end up on the mic at the same time, Slee can go get a drink.
Well, Cedric's just trying to get to his seat, and then they make eye contact. I'm like, all right, there's 15 minutes.
You guys
I'll
were
back.
In Boston 1 year when I was doing it. And what you just described happened. So I'm back here in L.A. You guys are in Boston. And I hear and Michael and I are doing the show together. And I hear Michael start yelling at somebody. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's Cedric Maxwell. Next thing I know, he sat down. I think he put your headset on. And they talked for 15 minutes. And they just argued with each other. It was terrific.
Nice. I can tell this story now. It was not funny when it happened. But 1 year, they got into it.
For real?
No, well, they. It's always. It's joking, but it's not. They.
There's some shots there.
Yeah, they just. It's a game of one-upmanship, and so. we were not good. It was one of those years when we weren't good, and Cedric Maxwell goes, "Wait, Michael, get up here and get your ass kicking." And Michael goes, "Yeah, let's see what you say next year when we get Anthony Davis." And we didn't have Anthony Davis yet. And Michael and I got thrown into a meeting on an email chain like, "You guys can't say that."
Yeah. How long after did Anthony Davis show up? Was it the next season?
Either that or 2 years. I can't remember. But it was Michael was out of ammo, and that's where he went to. And it's like all of our bosses said, you can't talk. That was the beginning of you can't talk about players on other teams.
Just you can't even say their name?
Because no, you can say their name. You just can't speculate.
I'd love to have Anthony Davis on my team someday.
Not if you're a team employee.
Really?
Magic got fined $500,000 for complimenting Giannis. Hmm. In other words, Magic was our, at the time when Magic was running our team.
Yeah.
And somebody said, "Hey, Magic, what do you think of Giannis?" Ridiculous. And Magic said, I'm surprised you guys don't remember this. Magic said, "I think Giannis is one of the great young players in the game today, and I think he's going to lead Milwaukee to a championship, and any team would be lucky to have him." And the Bucks said, "Did the Lakers GM just say any team would be lucky to have him? That's tampering." And NBA goes, "You're right, $500,000 fine." And so that was the beginning of don't talk about other team. But Cedric Maxwell, it's just so fun when they lose, which is why I was so mad this year when they didn't call that foul on LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
We won the game.
The regular season game.
Yeah. So I don't know who my third one would be. It'd be Astros, Max, and...
Was it Bruin? Is there no SC factor in
this? No, I actually like when SC's good and then UCLA takes them down. Because if USC's having a bad year, they just wallow in it. But if they're having a great year and UCLA beats them... It's just they're like, "I can't believe we lost to those guys."
Well, this is the thing that I was talking, because he initially, Paul Pierce was actually a replacement pick. He picked the Clippers to start.
Oh.
And like the Clippers are never in the Lakers' way in the grand scheme of things. I know they can't beat them of late.
Right.
But generally speaking, why are they so annoying? That's what I'm asking you.
They're just annoying.
They're very annoying.
They're like an insect flying.
Do you have that?
I literally, the amount of time I think about the Clippers is less than 10 seconds but you're when maybe when I'm doing the game they just don't. I matter of fact, Lee, I'm surprised what's annoying about them. I just they're just there. I mean, they might as well be
street lights. Okay, not spotlights.
First off, yeah, they have owned the Lakers for,
well, that is true, they have.
Yeah, but they haven't owned
those
them
wins
in the playoffs
in meaningful games
because
right.
They've never played each other.
Sure.
I don't know, even Michael, do you remember that time Michael said that, I think the conversation came up where it looked like the Clippers could potentially get to the NBA Finals. I think the Celtics were in the mix. And it was, if it's Clippers-Celtics, who would you rather see lose or who would you rather see win? And Michael said he'd rather see the Celtics win than the Clippers win because, again, go back to this, annoying, this, that. I disagreed with that. I didn't agree with that. But the Clippers are annoying.
No, the championships are meaningful to the Celtics.
100%.
And they would have one more than us.
100%.
Yeah, I
if
mean,
the
I
Clippers
don't...
win a championship, it'll be like that year 2002 when the Angels won a championship.
Exactly.
It'd be like a parade at Disneyland and about a week of us talking about the Angels, and then they're right back to
over.
Being
the Angels,
the little brother to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't hate the Clippers. They just suck. That's the way I view it.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the correct.
Yeah.
It's accurate, and the your feelings are correct.
The Niner one, I felt it with you. Jorge coming in with his full Niner stuff.
And he's playing his village people. Oh, San Francisco.
And he's got, does he have his, I thought maybe he had his poncho.
Sometimes he'll wear his poncho.
Niner poncho.
Yep. Yeah. I just.
You mentioned the Angels. We played some of what you're talking about with Ohtani yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no set of circumstances where if the Angels said, "Listen, we're thinking about moving him, you make us an offer." You're not making any offer. You're waiting to the end of the season.
I would make a lowball offer. I would give him like a bunch of prospects and see if they bite. But I would not give up a lot of frontline talent when I can get them for free in 6 months.
Well, you might be able to get him for free in 6 months.
Right.
Well, you're one of several bidders.
But even if you trade for him, you still might be able to get
him. Right, but the what you
Why give up assets for him now?
Because you get him, right? That Al had a great analogy earlier today where he said that you there's this girl that you really wanted to take out for a very long time, and she says, yeah, I can go out with you on Saturday. You say, I don't know, man. Tuesday works a lot better for me. She says, all right, fine, but I'm going to go out with somebody else on Saturday in the meantime.
Right. That is a good analogy.
Yeah, like, I don't love that chemistry.
Just go have a fling and then come back to us.
But what if she marries the guy she went out with on Saturday? Yeah. That's the part that scares me.
Yeah, see, it doesn't. What I want is Ohtani and still having all the good stuff.
Of course. That's the best.
I mean,
option.
I don't want to trade out there. I don't want to trade.
I don't think there is a scenario where he doesn't go to market at the end of this year. If he gets traded today to another team, that may give that team an inside track to him, but I still think he's going to market. I don't think there will be an announcement, hey, Shohei Ohtani got traded to the Giants, and he's having such a good time,
he's agreed to a 10-year deal with the Giants.
I don't think so either, but it also could be that scenario that you just created. At the end of the year, the Giants get hot, they go to the World Series, they go make a playoff run, he realizes, hey, I really love San Francisco. This kind of wasn't on my radar to begin with. I'm still going to go see what everybody else says.
Right.
But I really did like it here. Okay, that's the one that I'm trying to avoid.
What you've described exactly is what happened to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard got traded to Toronto. They gave up good players, DeMar DeRozan, one of them.
And they won.
And they won the title, and Kawhi went to market anyway and said, I don't want to live in Canada anymore. I'm coming down
Wouldn't
here.
The Raptors do that 10 out of 10 times again?
For a championship?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No question about it.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
no question about it.
If you're, to Mason's point, if you give up, and like Mason one day was trying to make the argument, well, I would refuse to give up Will Smith. If
no
you
way.
If you say no, if you no. say I would refuse to give up and then mention any one
no,
player
no.
and it's for Ohtani, you're wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Will Smith's great. For Ohtani? You're refusing to give up Will Smith?
I'll drive him to Anaheim myself.
The one, I would literally, I would say, right. Will, I love you. We're getting Ohtani.
But wait till the end of the year and keep your second best hitter.
But I'll say this. This is the one thing that the Dodgers can do that nobody really else can. Watch this season as a perfect example. If it's not that player that's coming up through the system, they probably got another player right behind him. And I'm not saying you wouldn't give up a tremendous amount of value. Is the Dodgers are going to get more players through the minor league system based upon what they do, how they do it, who they take chances
they're
on.
They're stocked.
And they're going to continue to be stocked because it's the same organization finding ways to crop players.
But I want everybody to get their head around something. And Mason fell for it with the Will Smith thing. There is no player ever in the history of the game that's as good as this guy. Whatever player you have in your mind, I would never trade
Ted Williams.
No, who's the guy in Atlanta that's the favorite for the MVP this year?
Acuna?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
They would trade him for Ohtani.
Of course they would.
Tomorrow.
But my point was that the Angels are much more likely to want Diego Cartaya.
Of course they are.
And that's the guy they're going to want. But again, I don't want to trade any of them. I don't want to trade Will Smith. I don't want to trade Dustin May. I don't want to trade Bobby Miller. I don't want to trade any of them.
We need Bobby Miller, James Outman, and Will Smith. I'm thinking about it. Hard.
I'm not hanging up on him on anything.
Right.
Now, the question, Mason just set up the right question, though. If you can get them for nothing, for not giving up any assets, why wouldn't you do that?
Because that's not a guarantee. That is the best scenario. Nobody's arguing.
But it's not a guarantee even if you trade for them, Trav.
It's more likely. I think it's
more likely.
How much more? I think significantly
Isn't he going to market?
Right, so, Trav, I can't remember if you were working for the Angels when this happened.
I have a difficult time thinking.
This scenario played out with Mark Teixeira in the prime of his career.
Sure.
The Angels said, we're going to trade for him now. He came in. He was good. He was Mark Teixeira.
Yeah.
They got to the playoffs and laid an egg. But then Teixeira.
Yankees.
Right.
Yep.
So what would keep Ohtani from doing that?
Because the Angels did not have a consistent. This Angel team. I'm not talking about the Teixeira team. This era of Angel baseball has proven that they're not going to be the team to set you up for the future. What he's looking for, the reason he's going to market, is he wants to be in a place where they have a chance to win year after year after year. There's a handful of those, but there's only one that can say over the last 10 years we've been in it every single time.
Right.
That if you're here, not only are we going to be in it, we're going to be in it with or without you, but with you, we're not only going to be in it, we're going
to
be
in it. But to Mason's point, if that's the case, why give up anything if you're the Dodgers?
Right. In other words, if that's what he's looking for, a situation where 10 scenario. Of 10 right. years
but
he's in the
But you just said that the Dodgers have that advantage.
The Dodgers, I think, get him whether they do it or not. I think they're the heavy favorites regardless. I just want to remove the variable of her going on a date with somebody else.
Well, but here's
and
why
it's expensive, you might have the, I'm willing the to guy on Tuesday she's going to go out on a date with, he's got a good job, he's got the resume, he's got this, he's got all that. But she had really good chemistry with him on Saturday.
By the way, we've got to be that. Ready for something else. The rogue owner who goes just crazy. Like who's the guy and who owns the Mets now?
Steve Cohen, yeah.
All right, so Buster said the other day that he thinks Ohtani could command $600 million. Mm-hmm. What if Cohen comes in and goes, here's $750 million?
Then you let him go.
Right.
Then you let him go.
Right, but I'm just saying that could happen.
By the way, the crazy thing about Cohen, and yeah, I think he could totally do that, he pays 100% tax.
I know.
So in other words, if you pay Ohtani $50 million for next year, it's 100 out of Cohen's pocket.
Yeah. Right,
it's
but 100% luxury tax. To Mason's point,
he doesn't care.
If that's out there, if the possibility of a rogue owner is out there, like that time, who was it? Tom Hicks that paid A-Rod $250 million when there were no other suitors.
That's right. Yeah.
Kevin Brown
with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They did that
if
too.
The possibility exists that one of these owners is going to go, you know, crazy, then Mason's right. Don't give up anybody. Then
because if there is a rogue owner, he's going to go rogue whether you trade for him or not.
The scenarios you guys are laying out are the reasons not to do it, but nobody knows the future. And the only thing, I want more opportunities to keep him. I think your opportunities are better with him in your building. You got a better chance to win the World Series this year, even if he leaves the Kawhi Leonard plan. I don't think that there's a ton of downside in taking a big swing with
Did
that
you
guy.
And Bergman have a scrap today?
Yeah, I heard about this. Yeah, they fought. It was ugly.
I heard it was rough. I heard somebody threw a battery? I heard somebody throw a battery.
Battery? That's minor league compared to a trophy. Come on.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I was looking around to make sure there weren't any.
No, somebody sent me a tweet that it was somebody good. Oh, Crypto Ray says that you and I are beefing. Are we beefing?
Oh,
not
yeah.
To my knowledge.
Throw down.
Let me know what we're beefing about.
Oh, you're beefing about LeBron.
Oh,
yeah.
You always like Travis is like building a track to run LeBron out of town.
Well, you're not,
on
not as much lately.
No.
It's been a couple days.
I know you want to get out of LeBron business sooner than most.
I don't like that LeBron felt the need to strike a match on his way out the door this time. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like
you're not a LeBron guy.
Russell Wilson, LeBron.
No, I did not draft LeBron. I drafted Larry
Bird.
That's
right.
If the Lakers know exactly what he wants behind closed door, great. That's fine. Then he can go antagonize people on Twitter or with these cryptic remarks. It's fine. It doesn't really matter. But if he's really doing the, I don't know, just to see what it is. Okay, what do you want? Well, I don't know. Tell me what you got. I can't stand that stuff. I can't stand it.
You have leverage, why not use it?
It's fine, but use it. I'm not saying you don't go to them
privately.
Just don't
do it publicly.
Yeah, no, go to them privately.
What's
and say,
the advantage of telling us?
I want this. Yeah. Okay, fine. No problem with that. Even saying it publicly, fine. But this, if I don't know what you want, and you keep telling me, you better do what I want. What do you want? Well, you better.
Well, this happened.
How am I supposed to deal with that?
By the way, I know you guys are getting out of here, but this played out with Kobe. Until Kobe went nuclear,
right?
The Lakers didn't trade for Pau Gasol. When Kobe went nuclear and said, I'll play on Pluto, I want to be traded, all of a sudden, here comes Pau Gasol.
But it's a weird place to use your leverage. I think that's what's in it. I think it is a leverage play. It's just a weird place to use it.
It's a weird place to use it, and Kobe, when he did what he did with Pau, was still in the prime of his career.
Right.
LeBron is at the end of his career. He's going into his 21st season in the league, so the leverage is different than, hey, I'm still the best player on the planet.
Boy, I
got to
separate you guys. There is a lot of
people. Ugly.
Maybe we do.
It's ugly.
Maybe
Travis with Berg, then with John.
Travis, you are.
I'll send you some crappy tweet.
You're having a bad day.
I'll create something.
Come on, man. It's a Disney company.
Send me the three things you like, and I'll say something crappy about it.
Excellent.
Yeah. We'll do that. Perfect. Super Crosstalks powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
I almost went by the German place in my neighborhood and picked up some schnitzel, but it does not travel well. They told me that. It gets soggy.
Almost.
It's supposed to be
almost
crispy. It's supposed to be crispy, the schnitzel. And everybody turned down the opportunity for me to buy them schnitzel this weekend. Everybody said, no, I'm out. I'm out on the schnitzel.
It's the weekend. Busy. We got 5 days with you a week.
Mandy's.
Sixth is just
you got the
one too many.
Jorge walks in today. He's like, I'm so stressed about the Mandy.
Why?
No, it's just because I'm.
You killed it last year.
Right, but it's just the open. I'm working on the build-up, like building it up and pulling clips. And Carlos helping me. DeAndre's helping me. We're just finding the right clips for the open so I can hit.
Now, do you have a title? What's your title in there? Are you executive producer of the Mandy's?
Helping out.
Own that. Take that over. Executive producer of the Mandy's.
Sure.
When the Mandy's win event of the year, which I assume it's going to, Mandy's won.
Who awards that?
It's a good question. I don't know. when Mandy's won wins, will you be the person that comes up and accepts since you're the executive producer of the Mandy Awards?
I'll take it. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Grab that thing.
Why not? Why not you?
Why not? Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm driving in. By the way, we were just talking to Travis Lee. So one of the weird things about this business that we do is that we get into a mode where we're so game-driven.
Right. And there was no games last night.
And all of a sudden, there's no game. Like, the Laker run is over. The Dodgers lost last night. But we do have Dodger games. But we really don't have a lot of other stuff except for screwing around.
At least tonight, there's a Eastern Conference final game.
Yeah, by the way,
how much are we going to talk about that?
I'm picking Boston to win that game. I don't think that series is over. I know everybody else is assuming it is. I think if the Celtics win tonight, Miami better win game six. Because if it goes back to Boston for game seven, anything could happen.
So Boston is a slight favorite. I think Miami's going to win the game. I think Boston is a slight favorite.
No. It's more than slight. I haven't looked it up.
I got it.
At Boston.
What do you think the spread is, Mace?
4.5.
I think it's twice that. I think it's probably 8 or 9.
Right in the middle there, John. 8.5.
Minus 8.5.
Yeah, they figured something out. And by the way, you know, it's never happened. 0-150 that a team's come back from 0-3. This is the scenario by which it could happen. And here's what I mean. The higher seeded team is the one that's down.
Yep.
The higher seeded team has home court, and the higher seeded team has more good players.
And has games 5 and 7.
Right. So it's kind of set up for them. Now, I'm not saying Miami's going to roll over. I think Jimmy Butler's been unbelievable. But there's a real chance that the Celtics would be the first team ever to do it.
So the line,
by the way, Mike Greenberg, and this makes me feel less sure, is guaranteeing the Celtics come back and win it.
Come back and win the whole series?
Yeah.
Oh. He's been goofy lately.
Right.
I mean, I love Mike Greenberg, but he's been goofy lately. What's the line?
-8.5.
-8. Give me Miami +8.5.
I like that. I like all those points you're getting.
For $30,000 mythical dollars.
Yeah, I like all those points you're
getting. Don't give me the thumb, raise it. That's $30,000.
Yeah, raise it up, man.
No, you're leading.
See what you got.
I'm just padding my lead.
That's a solid bet. Why are you guys giving him a hard time about that? He doesn't even have to bet. He's got the lead.
So I'm driving in today, John, and you know how when you drive into our parking garages, they've got those white sort of cones with the red stripe around them?
Right.
I'm driving in. Boom, boom, boom.
You hit one?
Three. Hit three.
You are a terrible driver.
Hit three cones. Boom, boom, boom.
Is this car one you own or are you leasing?
I own this car.
Okay, so you just can't do what you used to do, which is call John Patterson and say, hey, give me another car.
No, this is my car. I prefer it that way.
What, you didn't see them? Those cones are pretty big.
They are really big, but I kind of veered a little bit and then boom, boom, boom. Went right
through. Were you
talking
on your phone?
Boom, boom, boom. No, I never use my phone when I'm in the car.
Not even hands-free?
No. I use Siri.
Yeah. We can just say that.
Send messages that way. But, yeah, so did no damage, except it knocked off that one thing that covers the turn signal light. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
On the front right.
Yeah, so you got to get it repaired.
Can you get a ticket for that for... Oh, then I'm not even having it repaired.
For $200, you know, I can fix it.
Exactly. $200, Jorge can take care of that.
All-purpose Jorge can knock it out for $200.
All right, so we got a lot coming up today. Bergman, what's some of the stuff we got coming up?
We have a good wheel of questions. There's a whole bunch of wheel of questions.
Yeah.
We're talking a little Dodgers.
Dodgers, exactly.
We got some nice potpourri action.
Oh, okay. Wait, you want to do something before we go to break?
Yes.
This is actually interesting.
Yeah.
So... I found this yesterday, like Tina Turner died.
Yes.
I've been listening. I played golf this morning and Tina Turner died.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, all this great stuff started coming up on the internet. All this old Tina Turner stuff.
Yep.
And I found one clip that I had never seen before. And I think it lends itself to a way we should all live our lives. And I'll tell you what it is coming up.
All right, that's coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley. Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
So I told Bergman this story this morning. This is weird. I was requested to pick up a bottle of wine last night, and I did it at the dingy liquor store that is in our neighborhood.
Okay. I know that liquor store.
You know that one.
Yeah, I know right where you went.
There is a payphone there.
Which still?
You don't see anymore.
Wow. Right?
So the payphone, I get out of the car, and the payphone's ringing. And I thought, well, why the hell not?
Right.
Pick up the phone, say hello. The voice at the other end says, I hate you, and then they hang up.
Nice.
So what was the pre? Was that like
somebody
was it
bored?
A drug deal gone wrong?
Yeah, probably.
Was it a relationship thing? Like I'll call you on the payphone. What the hell was that?
They wanted to get you into phone booth where they get you stuck in there.
I was like that
Colin Farrell movie.
Yeah, the Colin Farrell movie. Yeah.
Somebody see me? Is somebody watching? Yeah, is it payphone? It was weird to even hear.
Once
a
you
ring.
Picked up the phone, you had to hold the phone.
I always would try and keep that people on the line. Why do you hate me?
Yeah, he was gone. Guy was gone. I don't know why he hated me.
All right. What got you to actually pick up the phone? Like,
I would have picked it up.
Curiosity,
why not?
Yeah, right. There was nobody around. I'm like, well, it's just like one end of a
and
drug
a ringing
deal?
Phone. A ringing phone with no one paying any attention to drives me crazy. Answer the friggin' phone.
Right, and don't make your ringtone on your phone a phone sound. I hate that.
But it's a phone.
But I don't want the phone, the old fashioned phone sound.
Why? It's a phone.
On the phone. Just give me like the little music. Like, what's your ringtone?
It's not your phone.
What's
I don't
your
know.
Ringtone?
I don't know. Call it.
I always have my phone on vibrate at all times.
What is your ringtone though?
I don't know what it is. It's
don't know
never
what your
call
is?
Us.
It's never.
Hey, I'm calling you. Hold on.
All right, hold on.
Yeah. Here. Go ahead.
I'll put it.
That's great.
That's
normal.
Me.
Okay, yeah, that's normal. Okay, that's normal. That's a normal ringtone.
Yeah, I don't even know what my ringtone is because I always keep it on.
You don't put in a musical ringtone?
I don't know. Call me.
Okay.
I don't.
Here, I'm calling Mace. I'm calling you, Mace.
Okay, got it. I got my phone on. Let's see. So that's normal, right?
Yeah,
that's normal.
That's not too annoying.
That's not too annoying.
All right, here you go. This is John. This is your phone.
Okay. I don't know what.
Put your phone to the. Are you on loud?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I was like, great. Yeah,
I can
same
hear you.
Same as mine?
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird.
Jorge, what about you? Do you have a music? You
know.
Would have a musical playlist, would you not?
No.
Here, let's see. Let's get,
boy,
let's get Jorge.
What
this,
it is.
This is so exciting.
I'll go to the thing
Jorge.
I teased.
Okay.
Hold on, real fast. Here, this is Jorge's. We got to get everyone. There you go. That's like an old school phone.
That is an old school phone.
No, it's not.
That annoys me. That annoys me. All right.
So easily annoyed.
All right. So Tina Turner passed away yesterday.
Yeah. So all this great stuff started coming down over the internet yesterday. And all right. So in the 60s, there was this television host named Dick Cavett.
Great, great talk show host.
And he had Janis Joplin Janis Joplin was like a musical tornado in the 60s.
Yep.
She came out with she only did three albums. She had two huge songs, Me and Bobby McGee, which was a Kris Kristofferson song, and Take Another Piece of My Heart, which was a huge hit. And so Janis Joplin, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though she died when she was 27.
She may have been one of the first 10 people into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So Dick Cavett is interviewing Janis Joplin, and so what you'll hear is, and this was the theme yesterday, Tina Turner is really the queen of rock and roll.
Yes.
I mean, she inspired so many people. So you'll hear Janis Joplin trying to explain to Dick Cavett who Tina Turner is. He doesn't even know who she is.
Right.
And then you'll hear Tina explain why Janis got her, understood her. Here's Janis Joplin with Dick Cavett.
Go to listen to Janis if you want to really have a... Who are your favorites?
Tina Turner.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Tina Turner?
Yeah.
He doesn't know who
she is. My current favorite. She's the best chick ever. Fantastic singer, great dancer, fantastic show.
Would you be shocked if I didn't know who Tina Turner was?
No, a lot of people don't, but that's too bad. She sings with the Ike and Tina Turner Review. Ike is her husband and band leader. Yeah. And Tina's the show.
She's been terrific.
Come buy some neck, Tina.
She had a black soul. She felt her singing wasn't about anything else except the feeling that she got from it. And she wasn't trying to be anything else except Janis Joplin.
So Tina knew that Janis understood her because she had what I thought that was a really cool compliment. She had a black soul.
Yeah, right.
So, but it got me to thinking. I've told this story before on the air, so you guys have heard it, but I'm guessing some of the audience hasn't. My second stop in television was in Beaumont, Texas. Mm-hmm. And there's a small town outside of Beaumont called Port Arthur. It's on the...
Not the same story.
Yeah, this one. It's on the Gulf of Mexico. It's a tiny town that's pretty famous for developing football players. As a matter of fact, DeMarco Farr's entire family came out of there.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But the year Janis Joplin was at Thomas Jefferson High School in Port Arthur, mm-hmm. in grade school, and all those years when you're a little kid, they made him sit alphabetically. And right in front of her was Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Fame football coach. And so when Janis Joplin died and somebody connected those dots later in life, and they said, well, that must have been a trip. You went to school with Janis Joplin? And Jimmy Johnson said, yeah, we gave her a really hard time. We didn't appreciate her talent. She was weird. She was kind of off. And, you know, we called her Beet Weeds. And she couldn't wait to get out of Port Arthur because we bullied her and made life so hard for her. But he goes, I regret that, you know, we didn't know we had this really talented person right in our midst. And it got me to thinking, Dick Cavett had no idea who Tina Turner was. Janis Joplin had to do it. People who are different, nobody knows what to do with them. You shouldn't run away from different.
Right.
You know, Janis Joplin was different. So Jimmy Johnson and all the big men on campus, all the football stars, didn't understand what they had. Tina Turner was different. There was nobody doing what she was doing. I mean, think about us.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a old, big forehead guy who can't sleep.
Yes.
And I ended up with a gay spaz from Ohio. Okay. And boom, radio magic.
Yes, exactly.
Don't be afraid of different.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin and Tina Turner were different. And that was the lesson I took from that, is that if you see somebody that is, well, nobody's ever done it like that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like look at Steph Curry.
Sure.
Now, six teams passed on Steph Curry.
Too short, too small.
They couldn't believe what they were seeing. The famous story about Steph Curry is Seth Greenberg, who is now an analyst on ESPN, mm-hmm. was the coach at Virginia Tech. And both of Steph's parents went to Virginia Tech. So, Seth's dad, Dell, called Seth Greenberg and said, hey, you should take my son. I've never seen anybody shoot like this.
Right.
You know, I played 15 years in the NBA. He's a better shooter than me. And Seth goes, I can't take him. He's too small. All the things you said.
Yeah.
He's too small. Can't shoot. And Dell's like, Seth, you have to listen to me.
Yeah.
Michael Thompson called Tim Floyd, who was the coach at USC,
yep.
and Ben Howland, who's the coach at UCLA, and said, guys, I played in the NBA. My son Clay is a shooting savant,
yep.
and he wants to play in the Pac-12. if nothing else, put him on your bench and bring somebody in when you need somebody to make a three.
Right.
And both Ben Howland and Tim Floyd said, can't take him. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
Because they were different. They didn't, nobody had come along at that point.
Sure.
And so I've been listening to Tina Turner all morning. I was golfing with some guys. All we did was play Tina Turner music for the whole 4 hours that we played. And just listening to the way she put her own stamp on songs, and she was just this ridiculous force of energy. And nobody knew what to do with her.
Yeah.
And she had this incredible career because she was different.
Yep.
So the moral of that whole story to me is, don't run away from different. Believe what your eyes are telling you. If you see Steph Curry making 40 footers,
right,
don't say to yourself, well, that he can't sustain that.
Right.
You know,
right.
He'll never do it. Yes, you can.
Sure.
You know, and so I think that that's the lesson I took from all that.
Yeah, I think that's good. Well, and on that note of being different, there was, and every school has kids like Janis Joplin was, right?
Right.
I picked on this guy my entire junior and senior year. Just gave him crap. And teased him and goofed on him because he was nerdy and all that kind of stuff. And I, years later, I went back and I was like, I feel really bad that I did
right.
that.
You matured and it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you felt guilty.
So I went to one of those person finder websites.
You didn't.
I did. Where you have you can pay them a certain amount of money and they'll go out and find that person. So I found that person. His name was Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Gerg was his last name. Steve, I apologize.
Is he still in Ohio?
No, he's not still in Ohio. He lives in Chicago. At least he did when I did this. And I called him up and I said, Steve, I wanted to let you know, I think about all the teasing I did and I regret it. And he said, actually, I always liked you. He did not remember any of the crap I was giving him.
I had that exact same situation with Jeff Biggs, who worked here. Remember Jeff?
Sure,
who worked
Jeff
here?
Biggs.
He's a great guy.
I still hear him doing traffic on KNX.
Yeah, he's living down in Texas now. And but one day Jeff came to me, and you know, we used to have fun because Jeff was such a nice guy.
Yes,
like somebody would, like you and I'd be doing a show. We'd said, oh, somebody had a temper tantrum in the hallway, and like knocked over a door, and it's like somebody was really mad, and we both would go, well, it must have been Biggs. And
yeah,
but
right.
And, you know, we thought it was fine because Jeff would just never do
that.
He's just such a nice guy. And one day he came to me and he goes, hey, I just want to let you know that really bothers me that you guys do that. And
really?
I said, Jeff, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I literally had no idea. I go, I'm glad you told me that it bothers you, because then we stopped immediately.
Sure.
Because I mean, he really is. He's one of those guys. Everybody has a guy in your world that you think, well, that guy can't be that nice.
Right.
He's that guy.
Right.
He is that nice. It's just a great guy. So, but you just never know, because people aren't the same as you doesn't mean that they're not going to go on to great things.
It's true.
So there you
it's
go.
It's true. All right. There is your Janis Joplin, Tina Turner history lesson. Be different, as Apple's original campaign said.
There
be
you go.
Different.
Steve Jobs.
All right. Coming up next for you, you're going to spin the wheel of questions. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is my wheel today, and let me go meta for a minute.
Okay.
So we found on the internet a Wheel of Questions game. Then we played that game and put that question on the wheel, and it just happened to come up now.
Crazy.
It is crazy how that happens. All right, so here it is. If you had to rate every person playing Wheel right now by looks, how would you rate every person? So there are a couple of ways to do this.
I don't understand.
So in other words, by attractiveness.
Okay.
By good lookingness.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to rank each other based on good lookingness. So
if Kate Beckinsale is a 10 and like...
It's just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, just okay. rank order. Let's do rank order. Okay. So rank order. And
of the best looking person of the four of us?
Yes.
The best looking person of the four of us is Bergman.
That's right. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I agree.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
I was going to say Jorge.
He dates every weekend. He's there. And
And by the way, you have a very attractive family. That picture you sent out a couple of weeks ago with Jan looks great. Your mom looks like she's your age, and your brother's a good looking guy, and your niece was cute. He's the winner.
Look how mad he is.
I know.
Look at that beard.
He's so mad.
He keeps that beard on point.
I do keep the beard on point.
How am I not just an automatic here?
Oh, you come in sweats.
Yeah, you're a slob.
I have not. This is, by the way, the first time I've worn. I'm not a slob. I wear nice clothes to work now.
What are you wearing? Describe what you're wearing.
Today is an off day. I'm wearing a very fancy designer hoodie.
A hat, when you stopped wearing hats.
An ESPN hat that somebody gave you for free.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think my clothes are free. I'm styling. You're wearing free stuff too.
Oh, yeah. I only wear free. Yeah.
Nobody wears as much free stuff.
I can't believe your answer was automatically Bergman without any hesitation whatsoever.
Jorge, wouldn't yours be?
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah, look at that.
Bergman, number
one. 3-1
Yeah, look at that beard.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Bordering unanimous, and everybody knows you.
Where do I rank?
Yeah, everybody knows you weren't going to vote for anyone other than you.
Where do I rank?
Well, you look older than me, but you're not.
Correct.
So it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for distinguished, you would be number one.
Yes.
If you're looking for youngest, you'd be number four. Yeah.
If you were looking just attractiveness overall.
Just because my hair is silver, I look older.
So between the two of you, John is the
better
looking of the
two.
Yes. John is the better looking.
I'm taller than you and 20 pounds lighter than you.
Correct.
20 pounds?
I went in at 183. You were 199.
Yeah.
And I'm at 195 now. I'm back. Mm-hmm.
You are.
I edge. Screw you. What would be my motivation for lying? Why would I lie?
I lost money betting
you
against his weight.
You literally brought a scale in
here. Two scales.
It's true.
No, we so didn't believe you that we brought two scales.
A scale.
It was two different scales to get it.
That'll let you know where our faith in Mason's honesty about his weight. We bring in a scale. He agrees to go on it. We weigh in, and I say, can't be. Go get me another scale.
Yeah.
To your credit, you didn't even fight it. You go, fine. Go get as many scales as you want.
Yeah, I didn't. I knew where I was. I knew exactly how much. Bergman apparently is the best looking guy.
Congratulations.
I mean, I'll take that. Thank you for that. I didn't think it was.
My order
was
Bergman, John, me, and Mace.
Yeah. Screw
that's
you.
My top,
yeah,
that's my
mine
four.
Mine is Jorge, me, John, Mace.
And Mason's is Mace.
Well, I do think I am a dashing man. I do think number one is appropriate. I do think. All right. Well, there you have your wheel of questions. That didn't go the way I was hoping it would.
Here, hold on.
Yes, let's spin it again.
Should I spin this other wheel again?
So we're talking about Tina Turner. I got into this conversation on the Culture Pop podcast last night.
Did you have a guest or no?
No, it's just me and Sue. So we've got...
Hi, Sue.
We've got Tina Turner is one of the great rockers of all time.
I might, and I know this could be a little prisoner of the moment, but female rockers?
Yeah.
Number one.
Okay. If that's the case, who's next?
Well, okay, what do I do with Adele?
Not a rocker.
Right.
Adele is a vocalist, but not a rocker. Like, okay. You're not going to do a headbanging Adele song.
All right, I bet you'll get this.
Okay.
There is a current artist.
Yes.
Hugely successful.
Yes.
Who you like and have seen in concert who said today she would not exist without Tina Turner.
Pink.
Yep.
Pink is my favorite rocker of all time.
She would be in my top five.
Yeah, I've seen her five
times.
She
had an unbelievable compliment for Tina Turner that made complete sense to me when I heard it. She said she connected to me when nobody else did. Huh. You know, like you can say this about movies, about people, about food.
Yep.
Every once in a while, something will connect with you. You're looking to try a new restaurant, or you're trying a new music, or you're trying anything, and you can't explain it, but boom, it just hits you right. Or you're in a movie you're watching hits you at the exact right time in your life where it's in. And what Pink said was, I was a little girl growing up, and somebody introduced me to Tina Turner, and just because I've been listening to her for 4 or 5 hours today, Mace, the power of her voice.
Yeah,
she's just a force.
Yep.
And like I
by the way, there's some song we never play. River Deep, Mountain High, fantastic.
Well, Proud Mary.
Proud Mary is just a tour de force.
Yeah, is an all-time classic. She did that one with Ike.
Yeah.
But I mean I love the song Let's Stay Together by Al Green.
Oh, it's so good.
Her version is better.
Yeah, it's on that Private Dancer album.
Yeah, and it's just every once in a while, like one of the things we played today, I found a live album on Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And we played it, and just in the middle of the live album, she starts playing Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Stones, mm-hmm. and just kills it.
Yeah. I actually opened for the Stones a bunch of times.
Yeah, just kills it. One of my great regrets today was that I never saw her in concert in person. I thought and in the 80s, she was the most expensive ticket after Private Dancer came out, and then that led to Mad Max.
We promoted a concert with Tina Turner. She was unbelievable.
And yeah, there's an open, running around on the internet today. There is an opening to, it was either like the American Music Awards or the Grammys or something, and some producer had a brilliant idea. Yeah. So the show opens.
Yeah.
You see a car pull up.
Yep.
And it's a limo.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you don't know who's in it. And somebody opens the door. And these unbelievable legs get out of the car. You can tell it's a woman.
Right.
Because Tina Turner had these unbelievable legs. So, and she is strutting.
Yeah.
Off the street through the front door of the theater, and all you're seeing is the reaction of the people looking like, oh my God, there she is. Walks right down the aisle and right onto the stage and opens the show with Simply the Best, and the crowd stunned.
Yeah.
And when she got behind the microphone, I mean, she just owned it.
Right.
And you know, for her, I mean, what were her chances? She was in an abusive marriage. Her husband was a jerk. She
left everything behind to start her own career.
Right. She said that when they were getting divorced, the only thing she wanted to keep was her name. She let him have all their music that they made together. She got no royalties from any of it afterwards. And she just reinvented her life.
Yeah.
And it's every once in a while, like when I felt this way when Ray Charles died, we're just not going to see anybody like her. Pink's probably the closest thing
Pink
we got.
Pink is the closest thing.
With that booming voice and just ownership of the stage. But Tina Turner was absolutely one of a kind.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. Ramona says this is an all-time death radio segment.
Really?
Yeah.
She doesn't like talking.
I think it's a tribute.
Yeah.
Tribute.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
Tribute.
I'm surprised Ramona doesn't like Tina Turner. That's a
you would think.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Because I think
what
she's...
What is it, Bergman?
No, she loves Tina. I don't think it's about a Tina Turner. I think she just doesn't want to hear death radio. I don't agree. I think this was actually a really good segment about
tribute.
Tina Turner.
Jorge, what do you think?
Tribute.
Oh, I like it. I'm looking for the songs you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So coming up next is the 2 o'clock call of the day, which has been pretty good lately.
Boom, boom, boom.
Some of them...
Me driving
better than others.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, we got somebody reacted
to me hitting the cones.
Yeah, and said, "Are you sure those were cones?"
Oh yeah, they were cones.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. No, I could see. I saw them. They all.
Are we sure
over.
That it was cones that Mace hit?
Boom, boom, you boom, are boom, a boom, terrible boom, driver.
I am a terrible driver.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right, we got 2 o'clock call of the day right now. 877-710 ESPN. Got an interesting nugget on D'Angelo Russell. There's been so much talk about Kyrie. How about a nugget about D'Angelo Russell and what his future may be? And will it be with the Lakers? That is coming up for you. 877-710 ESPN for 2 o'clock call of the day. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.